Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will be glad. My heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ryan. Good morning. Let me add my welcome. My name is Rob. I am a pastor here at Capital Press Fairfax. It is good to see you this morning. Even just sitting there hearing those verses read, I wonder what your feelings are. We're talking about parenting this morning, and I know that can conjure up a lot of emotions for all of us. And so what I'm going to do is pray and ask God to speak to us, and then we'll jump into our sermon. So pray with me. Father, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. For those who may feel shame, for those who may feel weary, for those who may feel excited, however we may be coming into this sermon, maybe for those of us who feel like it really doesn't touch on anywhere we are in life right now, wherever we're coming from, help us to hear from your word, transform us by your Spirit, and may we see Jesus this morning. Amen. 1936, Ernest Hemingway writes a story, submits it to Esquire magazine. A couple years later, he publishes it in a collection of short stories, and it gives it the title, The Capital of the World. And in this story, he writes about a Spanish father who's wanting to be reconciled with his son. His son had run away to Madrid. And so the father decides, you know what I'll do? I'll put out an ad in the paper. It's called El Liberal, was the name of the publication. He puts an ad in the paper. It says this, Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon, Tuesday. All is forgiven. Paco, at the time, was a rather popular name in Spain. So Tuesday morning rolls around. Turns out that the Spanish Civic Guard has to be called out to disperse the crowd of men that had gathered. 800 men who had come to be reconciled to the Father. I share that story, one, because I just love it, and more people need to hear it. I apologize. I've shared it before. You might have heard it. But number two, because it shows the power and the place and the strength of parenting in the lives of children. for good and for bad. We face a danger this morning somewhat to what we faced a few weeks ago in the Proverbs 31 sermon, right? There could be those here who think this sermon is about family, it's about parenting, and that really doesn't apply to me, right? Like, I'm a kid, all right? Or I'm single, or I'm not married, or we don't have kids. Listen, don't check out. Don't daydream about like what the mascot of the Commanders is going to be. Don't daydream, kids, and think about like, how am I going to find somebody to sit with at lunch on the first day? Like, I know that's real, but like, lean in with me. Kids, I'm going to try my best to talk to you some too, all right? Because in a sermon on parenting, it would be real easy for me to talk about you a lot and really never talk to you. I'm going to try to avoid that awkward reality, so I'm going to try to chat with you some as well. Gene did steal my thunder. I do have 3 points this morning, all right? But it's okay, Gene. When we look at parenting, and as we go through these Proverbs, I want us to look at the purpose of parenting, the plan, and the power. The purpose of parenting, the plan, and the power. We started out looking there at chapter 4 of Proverbs, and it says, "Hear, O sons of fathers, instruction," right? We're talking about parenting. We're talking about wisdom passed down from parents, mothers, and fathers to children. And if you remember the whole context of Proverbs, right? Like, if you zoom out a little bit, all of Proverbs is wisdom of fathers and mothers to children. All of it. And so this morning, it's only fitting that we would take some time to think about the specific wisdom that applies to parenting. And so Proverbs chapter 4 starts out, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father," and so it gets a bit generational. Hey, this is what parents have done over time. Right, "he taught me and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth." I want you to see this morning that the purpose, the primary aim of all parenting is founded on wisdom. It's the cultivation of wisdom in the life of our kids. And wisdom is primarily about the fear or the knowledge of the Lord. So parenting is about wisdom, primarily. And wisdom is primarily about the fear or the knowledge of the Lord. And it's my sense that often, just living life in the world that we're in, it's tempting to make other priorities primary in our parenting. Like to adopt some of the priorities of the world around us and make those things priorities in our parenting. Maybe it's protection, maybe it's affirmation, maybe it's promotion. So like, sometimes this is what it looks like to make protection primary in our parenting, right? We become obsessed with building fences and firewalls around the life of our kids. Now, don't get me wrong. Parenting involves protection. We want to keep our kids safe, right? But last I checked, the chief end of man is not to avoid proximity with all bad things and stay safe forever. So we have to be careful because, you know, some of you have dropped kids off at college, right? And that's a real life reminder that your ability to protect only goes so far. If you have cultivated wisdom, hopefully when you can't go with them to college, and I would not advise trying to go to college with your kids, when you can't go with them to college, hopefully wisdom can. All right, so protection. Sometimes we make affirmation primary in our parenting, so that's all about self-confidence and a positive self-worth. Do we want our kids to have that? Of course. But we've got to make sure we're connecting the dots with our kids to see where their value comes from, where their worth comes from. Sometimes we make promotion primary in our parenting. Parents of Northern Virginia, when we make promotion primary in our parenting, it looks like being obsessed about academic or athletic or artistic success, right? And we just want to realize, hey, yes, we want our kids to pursue excellence, but to what end? Glorifying God, using their gifts, extending his kingdom, or just enriching themselves, gaining status and attention. So there's a lot of things that could tempt us to be the primary purpose of our parenting. Proverbs says, hey, it's wisdom. Look at those verses, those phrases again from chapter 4. Be attentive, gain insight, teaching, precepts, hold fast my words, keep my commandments, get wisdom. Because hear this, do you know it's quite possible to raise safe, self-confident, successful kids that completely miss their purpose for life, that completely miss a relationship with their Creator in this life and the next? And Proverbs would help you and me see, no, parenting, investing in children is all about cultivating wisdom, helping them to know the fear of the Lord and to know Him. That's for parents. That's for friends of parents. If you're a friend of parents here this morning, guess what? Let me let you know a little phenomenon. You can share some wisdom with your friends' kids that they have shared 794 times. But when you say it to their kid, the skies open, the clouds part, and it's the wisest thing they've ever heard. More than any inheritance, more than any tuition you can give your kids, wisdom is the treasure. Kids, wisdom is the greatest treasure on earth. More than any social media followers, more than any fame that you could get, wisdom is the treasure here on earth. That's the purpose of parenting. All right, so what's the plan? How do we do that? How do we put that in action? The plan for parenting involves at least two components, and that's giving direction and discipline. Direction and discipline. Let's start with direction. All right. We see in verse 11 of chapter 4, he says, the father says, I have taught you the way of wisdom and led you in the paths of uprightness. And again throughout these passages we read, we saw intentional actions that parents take to provide direction, to teach words, to help them to have these insights. Parenting is going to involve that. It's going to involve humbly entering into your children's life and sharing truths about who God is and what God has done. All right? It's about sharing how the fear of God interacts with anger and adultery. Like, what does that look like? Or mercy and money. What does that look like? Having these intentional conversations. And that can happen over family devotions. All right? As much as a goat rodeo as those can be at times when you're trying to have a family devotion, just study the Bible, those can happen there. We can use the tools of our tradition, catechisms, and we can teach truths intentionally to our kids. It can also just happen when you're riding to soccer practice and you want to share some truths with them there as well. Let me just share something I've learned too. When you're trying to be intentional and have these conversations to provide this direction, really, whether we're talking about physically or spiritually, the more you know the lay of the land, the better you are and more equipped you are to share these directions. Right? So let me encourage you to enter into the world of your kids or your friends' kids to know the stories they are hearing, the experiences they are going through. Right? Hey, kids, can I tell you one thing? When I think about being a teenager now or a middle school student or an elementary school student, I think it is both awesome and terrifying. All right? Awesome because you have things like electric skateboards. All right? That's incredible. You come up to a hill on your skateboard. You don't have to pick it up. You don't have to push. You just like push this button. Up the hill you go. It can be terrifying too though, right? Like when I was growing up and a kid wanted to make fun of me, like the only people that heard it were like the people standing around and they just heard it for that one time. Now if kids want to be mean, right, like they can post it on social media for hundreds of people to hear it for all of time. So parents, let's enter into the worlds of our children. Student ministry volunteers, children's ministry volunteers, let's enter in and learn the world of our children. Because if we're going to want to take the steps that Proverbs teach us, to teach wisdom, to give insight, we're going to need to do that. I'm going to give you a resource. You can write this down. Ryan Ostry, who read scripture for us, who sang for us this morning, he shared it with me, and I'll share it with you. It's called The Culture Translator by Access Ministry. If you just Google the culture translator, that's really helped me as a parent kind of enter into the world of my teen some. So let me give you that. So you got to provide direction, and some of you knew this one was coming too. If we're talking Proverbs and discipline, or Proverbs and parenting, you knew that discipline was coming because maybe before this series, the only proverb you knew was like, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? And that is in Proverbs, sort of. Like, it is a rough translation of this proverb, Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline. And then there's also 13:11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof. The Lord reproves him who he loves as a father and the son whom he delights. So when we talk about discipline, here is a working definition for us, right? Discipline is causing discomfort and love for the purpose of shaping and teaching. Causing discomfort and love for the purpose of shaping and teaching. We do this for our physical bodies, right? Exercise is causing discomfort and love for the purpose of shaping and teaching. Proverbs says, as a parent, sometimes you are going to need to cause discomfort and love to shape and teach your child. And so the antithesis of that is true, the opposite. When we don't cause discomfort and love, we are not loving our children. So, right, when your kid rips the toy out of another kid's hand, their toy, right, like just rips it out again and again and says, mine's. Anybody ever have to teach their kid the word mine? Just magic. Somehow they know it, right? But if they do that again and again, and you don't cause some discomfort in love by some sort of consequences in order to shape and teach them, that's not loving them, right? Parenting involves that. And as soon as that, I say that, rewind back to last week in our sermon on abuse. Right? There's no place for physical or verbal abuse in our lives and in our families. If you're experiencing that or someone you know, reach out for help. Speak to the leadership of this church, right? So we should know if our discipline is done, it should never be done in rash or unchecked anger. It should never be done with a lack of self-control. In fact, the Bible speaks more about unchecked anger than it does about discipline. So what we have found in our lives is there is times where maybe we might need to hold off on discipline, either to delay it or forego it altogether because we're not in the state to give it. It requires a significant amount of wisdom when it comes to how and why and when to discipline our children. So if you are here this morning and you're a parent and you just feel overwhelmed by it, welcome to the club. And let's be thankful that we have a God that promises to give wisdom to those who lack it. If there's another proverb that many of us know when it comes to parenting, it's Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And some of us hear this proverb and it gets us up in the morning and it's exciting, and that's what we apply when we're thinking about our kids and their lives and how we invest in them, and that's good and it should. And then there's some of us that read this proverb and it actually causes some heartache and some pain. Right? Because when we think about our kids, we know that they have departed from the way. And so maybe you're thinking, well, maybe the training wasn't good enough. Maybe I didn't train them right. Like somehow maybe I messed the formula up. Remember, again, context, Proverbs. Proverbs falls into wisdom literature. That's the genre. And Proverbs weren't written to be promises to be claimed, but principles to be applied, guidelines to lead and guide us and direct us. Proverbs were never intended to act as guarantees. Friends, what we need to remember this morning is that God is not done with our kids or with our grandkids. We are thankful that God is not done with us either. The message of Proverbs And the message of the Bible isn't be a perfect parent. The message of the Bible is you have a perfect parent, God the Father. And we trust in him to work in our lives and the lives of our children. So yes, we follow this principle of training our kids up and being intentional about it, but we don't hope in that principle, or we don't hope in our ability to perform it well. We hope in our God. So purpose, cultivating wisdom, plan, provide direction and discipline. Where in the world do we find the power to do this? Like how are we supposed to find the motivation day in and day out to help our friends who are parents? I will take a minute and just remind everyone, every time we celebrate the sacrament of baptism up here, do you remember, if you're a member of this church, you make a promise to parents, whether you're a teenager or a young adult or a young at heart, you make a promise to parents to come alongside them and help them. So where do we find power as parents or as helper of parents to actually do this? And power for parenting comes in this: remembering that you are a child. Remembering that you are a child. And here's why I say that. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, we've highlighted it. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. Actually, this is quoted in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer quotes it there because the church is just getting rocked in Hebrews chapter 12. They're going through some hard times and they're wondering, what in the world is going on? And the writer says, hey, you know what? This chaos that's going on in your life, when you're weary and wounded, be sure of this. It's not because God has forgotten you. It's because God's at work in you. It's because God's actually, there's discomfort right now, but God's using that to shape and to teaching you. Why? Because you are his sons and daughters. The power for parenting comes in remembering that we are sons and daughters of God. That's the only place that you're going to find it. It also comes in remembering why you are sons and daughters of God. Never forget, if you are a Christian here this morning, never forget that you were a rebel child. I was a rebel child. And the Father pursued me. The Father pursued us. Not like in Hemingway's story, putting an ad in the paper, but by sending his son to come into our world, take on flesh, the son he delighted in. He sent his son to pursue us, to take the punishment that we deserve. Right? And remember back to the story, the ad that drew some 800 men. Well, the power of the cross and Christ's work on the cross has been drawing daughters and sons, millions of them from every tribe, tongue, and nation, to the Father. That's where our power comes in parenting. It's this, just being absolutely thunderstruck by that reality. Our friends, our kids, our children, our teenagers need to see us as adults. Like, we never get used to that reality that though we essentially wished God was dead and went our own way, he pursued us and showed us grace. We should never be comfortable with that. We should never not be in awe of that reality. And our kids, our teenagers should see that in us. That we are thunderstruck by the grace and love of our Father. The power of parenting is found in grace, in showing our kids grace. Kids, I can't speak for all of your parents, all right? I can just speak for this parent. When it comes to parenting, sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, all right? Life is complex and confusing at times, so sometimes I have to let my boys know this. I love you very much, and God loves you and me more than we can imagine. And that clarity and that certainty is going to have to be enough for us. I have to make this decision. I have to take this action. I'm praying for wisdom. Kids, if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying right now, you can pray for God to give your parents wisdom and grace, and you can show them grace when they fail in parenting, because we fail sometimes in our parenting. You might think that a sermon on parenting would end with a call to love your kids more. But I'm not going to end there. I was really helped by a quote that comes from a letter that the Oxford professor C.S. Lewis wrote to someone. It's interesting. I'll share it with you. He says, "When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased." You get that? So if we want to parent well, if we want to love the children and teens in our church well, children, if you want to love your parents well, love God first. Love Him more. Parents, love God more. And we will love God more when we start to get a glimpse of His love for us, what He's done for us. All right, that and that alone is going to help us to love our children, our neighbors, our roommates. Whoever God puts in our life is understanding the love of God. Pray with me. Father, we confess we need your grace when it comes to parenting. We thank you that you haven't left us alone, that you've given us principles that help guide the way as parents. And we know even in the calendar year, we stand on the cusp of a new school year, new classes. We do pray your peace and your power would go with our students and with our teachers and our administrators. Father, where there's brokenness in families, would you bring healing? Would you bring flourishing to families that they might be used by you in public schools and private schools and homeschool communities to extend your grace and your mercy and your kingdom? We can do none of this in ourselves, Father. Would you be pleased to do it by your grace and for your glory? Amen.